This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahirrahmanirrahim. Wa salatu wassalamu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam. We come to the last part of Musa and Harun alayhim assalam, and some of the things that we were discussing at the end of the last session was the impact of why Allah Azza wa Jal has discussed with us of what Banu Israel have done and what this Ummah will do. So there's so many references of Musa alayhi salam and Banu Israel that Allah is warning us that if you follow these footsteps, you will be in the same place. And that's the whole point of this. So a lot of the times what happens is that people read the Quran, and they see the references of the Christians, and they see the reference of the Jewish people, and the mushrikeen, the polytheists, and they see the reference of the kafaru, those who are atheists, those who are not believing in anything. And what they end up doing is, they start looking at them purely from a Christian point of view, purely from a Jewish point of view, or a Jewish religion point of view, and they analyze them just to that. But what they fail to do is, what the real reason was for this Quran to come. Yes, these ayats are for the Jewish people to come and read the Quran and to reflect. They're for the Christian people to come and reflect. Allah has said, مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ. One of the great reasons why there's so many references of the Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book, and Musa alayhi salam and his people form a great part of the people of the book. One of the great reasons why is because when they come to this Quran, many of the contradictions that they find in their own book will be resolved if they come to this book. And this book is the testifier and the one that will show the absolute truth to all the difficulties they're finding in the Torah and the Injil. Okay? So that is there, that is in its place. And Allah also wants the mushrikeen, the polytheists, to come to the Quran and to understand their beliefs. And Allah wants the atheists, those who don't believe in anything, to read the Quran and find about what Allah tells them in the Quran. That's all fine. But the thing about Muslims is, Muslims are not supposed to just look at this and say, well, that's them, that's them, that's them, that's them, and then just look at the ayats of the Muslimin, of the mu'mineen, or the believers, and say, well, that's us. The point was for us to reflect across these verses, and Allah is using this. See, this book is a great book of history. This book is a great book of history. And one of the things about about history, if you study history, is that history repeats itself. So if you don't read the lessons in history, you will be prone to making the same mistakes. And that is a general fact. So what we did is we analyzed from the beginning of Baqarah, and we came to the fact that the Banu Israel, they had internal wars. They changed their beliefs about one another. These are the scholars of Banu Israel. They changed it. So when it came to a tribe they liked, they made rules based on what they liked. But they said, oh, these people, you know, because they believe in this of the Torah, that means we can't wage war against them and blah, blah, blah. And that became the reason for them not fighting them, which is a good thing. But then another tribe of the Banu Israel, they didn't like. So they said, they've got this corrupted belief. And because of that belief, they're not the same as us. And in fact, according to the Torah, such people who have such beliefs should be, you know, people who we should fight. And they started to fight with these tribes. Or they made two tribes fight each other. One of the things was about the Banu Israel. And this Ummah has also done the same thing. And that's what I'm going to come to. Like in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, some of the Jewish people, they made the Aus and Khazraj, these are two tribes within Medina, they made them fight. And they started to wage wars against them based upon the links they had. So if they liked them, they kept them with them. If they didn't like them, they made each other fight. And the real fight was between the two Jewish tribes. So for example, Banu Qurayza and Banu Qaynuqa, they might have a fight between them. But what they will do is that instead of fighting directly, they'll make Aus and Khazraj, the two tribes who are to become Muslims, who later on are going to become Muslims, they make them to fight. And these two, Qaynuqa and Qurayza and Banu Qaynuqa, the Jewish tribe, they won't necessarily fight. They won't shed blood, but they'll make the other two shed blood. And if you look in the world today, you will find this hasn't changed. Okay, this hasn't changed. In 1981 to 1989, Iraq and Iran had a war. Yes or no? Yes. But it wasn't about Iraq and Iran. It's nothing to do with Iraq and Iran. They had a war. They killed each other. They lost so many men. They lost. You know, they used so much arsenal to try and wipe each other out. In the background, the real war we know was between America and Russia. It wasn't between Iraq and Iran. Now, this is something I'm talking about in the 80s. Nothing has changed. If you look today, if you look deep into political analysis of what is going on, many of the fights that are going out there, that are happening on the earth, they're between other people and their interests. And they manipulate situations. This is from an outside point of view, yes. But we shouldn't just blame it on outside influence. That's my point. Because within the Muslims, just as the Banu Israel, according to these ayats in Surah Baqarah, ayah number 84, 85, what you will find is they had internal wars. And they drove these wars based on whether they liked a tribe or they didn't like a tribe. And today, if you look into the Middle East, you will find that, and I'm going to break this up to you. And, you know, it's a shame, but we need to discuss this. The real war that is going on, one of the real wars is, okay, you will find, within the Muslims. Because I know from the non-Muslim point of view, there's a lot of hands that are moving things. Don't get me wrong. So America, Russia, you know, and other interested parties, they all got their hands in what's happening. You know, Britain, France, Germany, and so. You know, they've all got their hands in this. I know that. Let's move them aside. Let's now focus on the Muslims. Saudi Arabia and Iran have got a massive, you know, problem that's been going on for a very long time. Within that, if you look in what happened in 2011, the whole thing of the Islamic Brotherhood in Egypt. I'm not going to take sides here, and I'm not going to say I'm on this side or that side. All I want you to analyze is this. That in Egypt, Saudi Arabia had its hand in there. It played so that it could turn over Morsi, and it put in there Sisi. It played that. In the Middle East, it is a known fact that for a long time, just as you would find, on the one hand, America playing to try and keep itself on top of the world, so it plays with this country and that country, it'll send in troops, it'll spy on people, this and that, just to remain on top. And this is what more or less every kingdom, you know, sort of does, or a government might do. Saudi Arabia has been doing exactly the same thing with the Middle East. So it's been sending people in Yemen, it's been sending people in Egypt, it's been sending people in other countries, just to make sure that it stays as the most supreme Arab country in the Middle East. We don't know what's going to happen in the future, but a lot of this has now backfired, because now the war is on the doorstep of Saudi Arabia. Now all I want to say is that don't think it's just non-Muslims making Muslims fight. That is one part of it, yes. But a lot of the internal wars now are from the Houthis in Yemen, and others who are fighting them, the Salafia movement in Egypt against, you know, Mursi supporters, Sisi supporters, and the Muslim Brother, and all this inside. Don't you think it's just even a Sunni Shia war? Yes, it's a massive Sunni Shia war. And if you ask, really, you know, some Sunnis might just stand up and say, okay, Shias are not Muslims, and some Shias might stand up and say, Sunnis are not Muslims, and so on. And we're going to come to how between the Ahlul Kitab, they had the exact fight. To the outsiders, we're all Muslims. Yes or no, guys? To the outsiders, whether you're Shia, whether you're Sunni, it's like Protestants and Catholics, you know. To them, it's all. To us, they're all Christians, and to them, we're all Muslims. Whether you say it's a Sunni, Shia, this and that, still, it's Muslims end of the day. And the thing is, what, you know, for centuries, we've been okay. But this fight that has gone to a great extent. Why? because Muslims themselves created this. There are Muslims in the Middle East who said, you know that group there, that party there? We're not going to accept them as Muslims because this aqidah point. This point of belief, aqidah. They don't believe in this. They don't accept this. They don't accept that. Therefore, we're going to wage war against them. In the Middle East, in Iraq and Syria right now, if you think there's only one group that's trying to fight for the Khalifa, no. There's been 15 groups of Muslims that have been fighting it out for the last 3-4 years. 15 groups. Each one has got its own Khalifa. Each one wants to say that we're the right group on Haq. Now, whatever you say, Muslims have done this. They've created their internal wars. And what we want to say is that Allah Azza wa Jal pointed in the Quran, He said very clearly in the Quran, the reason why is because what they will do is they will justify part of it from part of the book. They'll say, yeah, this part, yeah, relates to us. And that part, we don't want to talk about it. See, if you want to be just, if you want to be just with your beliefs and with your with the way you look at things and so on, you have to take the entire Quran and entire Sunnah all across on board. If you take part of it, you end up with a problem. So some of these Muslims out there who are fighting, they've made a stern deen. They always focus on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he's at war. They will focus on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he had a harsh dealing with someone. But they fail to focus on many of the other parts where most of Islam, most of the Prophet's life, most of Islam in the 23 years of prophethood was gentle. It was a pure, gentle religion. And on a few occasions you had them coming to clash. So the people who want to give a harsh taint to Islam will focus on those ayats, on those ahadith. But then you got another problem. You got another side of the Muslims who are only focusing on the gentle side. And they don't want to talk about the other side. And that becomes another problem. It's two extremes. And these are the two extremes we're dealing with. On the one hand, we've got people who are going to the government and they're trying to just polish the boots. You guys understand what I'm trying to say? Polish the boots. But they don't understand. The same boot they polish is going to be the same boot that kicks them in the face. But on the other hand, there's others who are saying, don't even go and negotiate with the government. Don't even talk to them. That's another extreme. We've got two extremes. And these are within the Muslim camps. And these are the same two extremes you had in the Banu Israel. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal is mentioning them in the Quran. Now, one of the things they did is, they made a belief. This is in Surah Baqarah, ayah number 94. And this ummah, some of this ummah will make the same belief and they will go to error. Which is, they made it to themselves that they've got an exclusive right to go to Jannah. This is in ayah number 94, surah number 2. It's in many different parts of the Quran. I'll give you a very, very clear part where Allah discusses this. So surah number 5, surah Ma'idah, ayah number 18. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى. The Jews at one point, not all Jews, some Jews at one point, and some Christians at one point, they said this, نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ. We are the chosen people of God. We are the sons of God, or they said we are the most beloved of God. And because of that, they said, only we will go to Jannah. So some of the Jewish people said, only we go to Jannah. Jannah is exclusive to us. And some of the Nasara, some of the Christians, they said, only we go to Jannah. This is in the Quran, ayah number 111 of surah number 2. وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. Unless you're a Jew, the Jewish people said, and unless you're a Christian, the Christian people said, you will never go to Jannah unless you become one of us. And what are the Muslims saying today? What are the Muslims saying today? Come on. Unless you are a Muslim, you're not going to Jannah. That's it. Now the thing is, look guys, I understand that we've got in our aqidah that you've got to die with iman and faith and the faith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, to believe in him for this time, this age, and that's what will get you to Jannah. That's fine. But the thing is, whether someone enters Jannah or not, who's going to decide that? Tell me that.
Allah.
We are only going by a few things in the Quran. Allah has said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, those who will disbelieve, لَهُمْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمْ, For them is the fire of hell, khalidina fiha, they will stay in there forever. And we said, okay, all people who die without iman will go to Jahannam forever, 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 forever. That's what we said, which is an abstract thing you can say. But the thing was, the question was, when Allah said in the Holy Quran, those who disbelieve, those who, kafaru. You know what kafaru means? Kafaru, if you look in the Quran, it means that the truth manifested in the heart. They saw the truth. Truth as a belief passed by their heart. They knew what the truth was. They saw it. They recognized it. And then they dampened it. They buried it. They hid it. They said, no, I don't want to believe in this. So they made other arguments on top so that they could suppress the truth and completely get rid of it if they could and eradicate it. This is kufr. Kufr is not the fact that some bloke out there is like, oh, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Allah, the thing is, I'm not trying to pass a judgment here. Please don't get me wrong. Don't try and go out there, cause fitna now in Edmonton and the rest of the community because of what I'm saying, or the YouTubers that are going to watch this. I don't want fitna. All I'm trying to say is, let's look at it from a perspective of the Day of Judgment. If on the Day of Judgment, Allah wants to say that these people, they had a chance to not, to actually explore Islam, and they never explored Islam, and that's why they went to Jahannam, and that is adl, however Allah puts it to them, and everyone will accept whatever justice is there on the Day of Judgment. That's fine, that's Allah's matter. But if Allah wants to say on the Day of Judgment, all these people, even those who hated you Muslims, they were deluded. They didn't know any better. They were brainwashed by the media. They watched images and they thought you're going to come and kill them tomorrow. They thought that they couldn't live with you. They thought the malls and all the cinemas and everything is like now a death trap unless they get rid of Islam. They thought Islam really is a horrible religion from the media, what it taught them. All they saw, when they saw the Quran, they just thought of an AK-47 because of the media and because of the way they were brainwashed. If Allah says on the Day of Judgment that such people are excused, if Allah says that, they're excused. If Allah says that. Again, I'm saying third time, if Allah says that, can me and you object to that, yes or no? And would Allah need a reason to try and justify himself, yes or no? No. And do me and you know whether it's going to be the first case that Allah is going to say, no, they never had, the first case is, they should have learned Islam, they didn't learn Islam. Even though they were brainwashed, they should have gone to Edmonton Masjid and picked up the Quran, they should have still walked in there. Allah can say that. I'm not saying he can't say that. He can say that. And if he says that, fine. Whether it's that one or the next one, which is, they were brainwashed, I'm going to excuse them, I'm going to send them to Jannah. And some Muslims hearing this might be, no, Shaykh, don't do that. Don't say that. Well, listen, what I'm trying to say is that there could be another 7 different ways Allah judges them. Or 700 different ways Allah judges them. Yes or no, guys? Do I know which one Allah will do on the Day of Judgment? Do you know? The answer is no. Should I now use an ayah of the Quran to just make all the kuffar of the world and all the kafirs of the world, yes, you're all going to, you know, Jahannam. That's it. Me and my Muslim fellows, we've got Jannah Club to ourselves. See, this is the exact same thing that some of the Jewish people did in the past. An exact thing that some of the Christians did in the past. And Allah mentioned that in the Quran, it's in front of us. The only way you will make a good interaction with others is to understand that, you know what, some of these people will be excused. I don't know who's going to be excused, for what reason. That's up to Allah. But I've got to give my da'wah. I've got to still invite them. And I've got to try and get them to Islam. And I've got to hate the kufr inside them, but not hate them. I've got to hate the disbelief inside them, but not them. It's a fundamental thing that we've got to understand. And that's what our deen was really about. So, what I'm saying is that because they made Jannah exclusive to them, they started to look differently on these other people. So one of the rules they made, which we know from the Torah, is that there's a rule for the non-Gentiles and there's a rule for the Gentiles. There's a rule for those who are Gentiles, meaning non-Jewish people, and there are rules for Gentiles. And you know, the Gentiles are those who are not Jewish. So the thing is, Because they made those rules, there were many effects of that in the world. And what I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters who are listening to this, is that we've got to be careful of our fiqh and how we operate. Because there are some Muslims today who have no regard for the people who disbelieve. They have no regard. They don't want to talk to them. They don't want to negotiate. They don't want to appreciate what they do. Everything is kufr, fisq, bid'ah, shirk, jahannam. Everything is like that. That's all they see until they come into Islam. Oh, now you're my brother. Otherwise, before that, it's like writing them off. So anyway, one of the other problems was they got into black magic. This is mentioned in Surah Baqarah. This is some of the Jewish people. It'll come later on in the story of Sulaiman alayhi salam, but all I want to mention is a very quick thing passing by, since we are on Surah Baqarah and going through chronologically. Ayah number 102, you'll find that they got into black magic, and that cost them a lot of trouble. Today even, if you look, some of the Jewish people, some of the mushrikeen, who are the polytheists, and unfortunately, Muslims, some Muslims, by going to Hindus and by doing it themselves, they're into black magic and they do cause, you know, some troubles. After that, what we find in the Quran talked about them is the fact that they start to say, well, you're not onto anything, and you're not onto anything. وَقَالَتْ الْيَهُودُ لَيْسَتِ النَّصَارَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. The Jews said to the Jewish to the Christians, you are not on anything. And the Christians said to the Jews that you're not onto anything. They tried to say that each one has got its own exclusivity to the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You know what Allah said? See, this was now a fight between who has got the right prophet, who has got the right book. So the Christians were saying, look, we've got the Injil and we've got Isa alayhi salam. And the Jews were saying, we've got Musa and we've got the Torah. And the Muslims, Allah said to them, be clever. Go one step back. Say that you're following the forefathers of the Christian religion and the forefathers of the Jewish religion, who is Ibrahim alayhi salam. You're following that person. You're following the millata Ibrahim. You're following the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. If you look in... So for example, ayah number 135 of surah number 2, Surah Baqarah. وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُدًا أَوْ نَصَارَى تَهْتَدُوا. They said, the Jewish people said, become Jews and you'll be guided. The Christians said, become Christians, you'll be guided. Allah said, قُلْ بَلْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. Better to go by with the forefather of the Christians and the forefather of the Jews. Look at Ibrahim, who was he? Oh, sorry, he built the Kaaba. You understand? Oh, sorry, his son was Ismail, because of whom Zamzam came about. Oh, sorry, he's the forefather of your religion, but he's the one who made dua, and from his dua, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. Do you understand? So Allah is saying, be smart and be clever. And just to make a quick, again, another reference to that, subhanallah, Allah says, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, ayah number 65 of Surah number 3. Ya Ahl al-Kitab, O people of the book, lima tuhajuna fi Ibrahim. Why do you make an argument about Ibrahim alayhi salam? As in, you Christians are saying he's yours, your Jews are saying he's yours. Allah says, wama unzilati tawratu wal injilu illa min ba'di. Don't forget that the Torah and the Injil came way after Ibrahim alayhi salam. So how are you trying to exclusively say Ibrahim is yours? And he's the founder of the Christian religion, or he's one of the forefathers of the Christian religion, or he's the forefather of the Jewish religion. Now, subhanAllah, you know what we understand from this? In this ummah right now, people are saying, my group. He's saying, my group. And his group is only 150 years old. And this one's group is only 200 years old. And that one's group might be 500 years old or 600 years old. What should we be looking at? Tell me. The sheikh that was 600 years old, the sheikh that was 200 years old, or what? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was the beginning of the religion. The same thing Allah is saying. Use your senses. When you get into this rivalry, yes, nothing wrong with having a group, nothing wrong with having a sheikh. But don't make it such that you're now trying to make exclusive rights to the religion because of your group and your sheikh, and you try and paint it and taint it in a way that, you know, it's just us. See, every hadith points to us. You know, that is a foolish game that people have played in the past, like some of the Jewish people, and the same thing some Muslims are doing today. Anyway, what Allah Azza wa Jal then moves on to is in the sixth juz of the Qur'an, because I'm going to now move to the sixth. These are many references that are made in the first juz of the Qur'an. But in the sixth juz of the Qur'an, Allah mentions again the Banu Israel, and He says one thing. يَسْأَلُكَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ. Some of the Jewish people or the Christian people from the Ahlul Kitab, they will throw questions at you. And through the questions, what they want to do is they want to move you in your iman. And one of the reasons they want you to move is because they want you to become a Christian or become a Jewish person. Or they want you to leave your faith. Why? Allah has made it very clear. Surah Baqarah again. Let's mention this one. Surah Baqarah, Surah number 2, Ayah number 109. Allah said, حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. The only reason why is because of jealousy. There's jealousy, and the jealousy is the thing that is creating all of this. So Allah said they will ask you questions, and the questions, don't worry, فَقَدْ سَأَلُوا مُوسَىٰ أَكْبَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. They ask Musa alayhi salam bigger questions than that. They're asking you things about the Qur'an. They're asking you things, yes. They ask Musa alayhi salam, أَرِنَ اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً. Show us Allah in front of us. Otherwise, we're not going to believe. Allah said, if their forefathers are capable of asking that question, then the question that they ask you today is nothing. Don't worry about it. And then Allah says to us, subhanAllah, He tries to make us understand that you've got to become deaf to some of the, you know, the taunts and criticism by mouth. Just ignore them. There will be nothing coming out of it. You just need to ignore them. Now, where's that? This is in, and specifically from some of the Ahlul Kitab, some of the Jewish people, some of the Christian people. Allah said what? This is in Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, Ayah number 119. Allah said, هَؤُلَاءِ هَا أَنْتُمْ هَؤُلَاءِ تُحِبُّونَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِبُّونَكُمْ. You love some of them don't love you. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ كُلِّ. And you believe in the Torah, the Injil, and the Qur'an. You believe in everything. When they don't believe in your Qur'an. And then later on Allah says, إِن تَمْسَسْكُمْ حَسَنَةٌ تَسُؤْهُمْ. When a good thing comes about, you lot, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it hurts some of them. وَإِن تُصِبْكُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ. And when an affliction befalls you, يَفْرَحُ بِهَا. Some of them become happy about it. وَإِن تَصْبِرُ. And if you hold yourselves firm and have patience, وَتَتَّقُ. And you beware, لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. None of this is going to affect you. None of these plans and plots is going to affect you. And Allah says, وَلَا تَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ. You will hear from the people of the book, the Jewish people, the Christian people, or some of them. You will hear, this is in Ayah number 186, Surah number 3. You will hear from them, أَذًا كَثِيرًا, even from the polytheists. You will hear a lot of hurtful comments. وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. If you have patience and if you stay aware of Allah Azza wa Jal, this is the best what your hearts can do. Allah is telling us that the comments that try to put us down, ignore those. And then Allah starts counting some of the things that they did. And He says, subhanAllah, look at this. He says, فَبِظُلْمٍ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا. Because of some of the Jewish people. And I, as Allah, I made haram for them certain things. They made, that was already halal, I made it haram for them. Why? Because Allah says, وَأَخْذِهِمُ الرِّبَا. They started to make it a case that riba, usury, interest, and giving money and taking more in return, they made that halal. They said, and this is a rule today, some Jewish people, I'm not saying all Jews do this, but some Jewish people, they don't do riba amongst themselves. There's no usury amongst themselves. But to them, the whole world, they can trade in riba. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? The whole world's economy is running on this right now. The entire world is affected by this. And if you go to the top of the ladder, you will find Jewish people who have who are at the top of the riba game, the game of usury. And unfortunately, some Muslims have got caught into this. They don't care about riba. And this is one of the reasons why Allah said in the Holy Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. That, oh, you who believe, just leave whatever riba transaction you've had in the past, just forget it now. Meaning in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah said, right now, end of it. And from now on, no more riba. If you don't leave it, then I, as Allah, announce a war with Allah and His Messenger with you lot. Come to war with me and my messenger. The thing is, if you look in almost every single Muslim country, true or not, the economy runs on riba. True or not, tell me.
True.
The banks run on riba. Yes or no, tell me. The banks in these Muslim countries, except a few. There are a few who are not in that. I understand that. Except a few. But a lot of them have accepted riba. And even if in their country they don't have riba, when they deal with international countries, they deal with interest. Do you guys get me? So even if a country like Saudi Arabia doesn't have interest within it, there will be dealings outside with Saudi Arabia and other countries where there's interest dealings. Like even in Saudi Arabia right now, it's like, you won't find any alcohol. Yes or no? You won't find any alcohol. But there is alcohol, yes or no? In the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, there is alcohol, yes or no? In fact, it's in the heart of the palaces. It's an underworld. It's an underworld that, you know, Haji shouldn't see. You know what I'm saying? Like, Haji shouldn't see. And he doesn't see it. But there's many of them that are drinking it. Who are at the top level, I'm saying. Some don't, alhamdulillah. Some, alhamdulillah, they don't. But there are those who do. And there's an underworld that is passing by with all this stuff that is happening. And that's what some of the Jewish people did in the past. In fact, they made rules for themselves when they needed to. One of the big things Allah says here in the six Jews, He says, يَوْمَ السَّبْتِ He said, لَا تَعْدُوا فِي السَّبْتِ. I told them not to exceed on Saturday, on the day of Sabbath. Ayah number 154. In Surah number 4. Don't exceed in the day of the Sabbath. Now, what was the day of the Sabbath? That's another whole story. And this has another consequence on this ummah. Because this ummah, again, some people have gone to extremes to try and justify the deen based on this. So, just a quick thing on this. I won't give you the full analysis of it. But if you want to find the surah number 7, ayah number 162. That's 163. Surah 7, ayah number 163. Allah says, وَاسْأَلُهُمْ عَنِ الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ حَاضِرَةَ الْبَحْرِ. Ask them, ask the Jewish people, some of the Jewish people, about a city or a town that was at the edge of a whole sea that Allah had placed it. إِذْ يَعْدُونَ فِي السَّبْتِ. When they started to exceed limits on the day of Sabbath, Allah said, day of Sabbath, don't work. Don't work, there's no working. That's why Allah said, don't even light a fire to them. There's no working at all on that day. Allah said, it's a free day for you. I don't want any business, anything. So, what happened is they wanted to get a fish on the Saturday. They were on the sea. Their trade was to go to the sea, get fish every day. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way to Friday, they could do it. But Sabbath, Allah said, on the day of Saturday, just rest. So they did rest for a while. Some of them thought, nah man, business is good man. It's 7 days a week. You know, like some Muslims today, they say, I wish there were 8 days in a week. There are some people out there in business like that. Yes or no guys, come on. They just can't get enough. Like you go out there, you see some Muslims out there. A lot of these, look, you know these 24/7 shops out there? You know these 24/7 fully licensed shops out there? Go out there, they're Muslims. Some of them non-Muslims, but some of them Muslims. They see me, they say, Haji, okay. Eh? Haji, okay. He's got alcohol all in the shop. He's got 24/7 open. Thing is, subhanAllah, he's running seven days a week. He can't get enough. So now let's relate to what happens here. See, when people go to the extreme, Allah says, okay, I'll teach you a lesson. What was the lesson here? So what happened is, they wanted to fish on Saturday. The day Allah told them not to fish, they wanted to fish on that day. But how do they do it? Because if they do it blatantly, and they get caught, right? How did they do it? So they found there's a stream flowing to the river, and the river goes to the sea. So they went up to the big stream, and what they did is on Friday, they put out a net that any fish flows down the stream will get caught. And Saturday, they just sat at home. Yeah, man, how's it going? You all right? Yeah, yeah. Sunday morning, they went back, and they took the net out. And what's going to happen on Sunday morning? You're going to find no fish. You're going to find fish. You're going to find loads of fish. Oh, yeah. I've just left that, isn't it? I just left that. And they took the whole big net of fish on a Sunday morning. So that was one way they were getting over the Sabbath thing. Some others made another trick. They said they went there on a Saturday, they put their hands in the water. They were just washing their face. Until the hand stays in the water, a big fish comes, just above the hands, they go, whoosh, throw the fish over the shoulder, wash their face. Oh, okay. Then they turn around, oh, there's a fish lying here. Oh, how did that happen? Oh, let me just take this. It just happened when I, you know, it wasn't that I went there to fish or to do business. It just happened. You understand? Tell me this, yes or no. There are Muslims out there who they know for Jummah they have to close the business and they don't close the business. Tell me, yes or no? Exactly same thing. Let's not twitch around the whole thing. And they justify. I have to. Or we're in a country like this. It'll look bad if I close from 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock. If I close from 12:30 to 1:30, if I close it, it's going to look bad because customers are expecting me to be open every single day at that time. I'm telling you, wallahi, if those businesses shut at that 1 hour and all staff went for Jumu'ah, by Allah, Allah will put barakah in that. There'll be more barakah. Because look what happens. Look at the story of the fish. What happens? So Allah said, okay. You want to play games with me? I'll show you how to play games with me. So Saturday, Friday now, all these nets are out and all of them catching fish on a Sunday morning. They're taking it out. Yeah. Ooh, they're getting really, really. So then they went on Monday to fish. And Monday, there's no fish that are coming. They put the nets out. They put the, rods out. Nothing. Monday, Tuesday, bad day. Only a few. It's Wednesday, Thursday, bad day. Oh, it's a bad day. Until what happens? Until Saturday comes and all the fish are swimming like anything in front of the face. Like, nah, 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 you wanna catch me. On Saturday. The day Allah prohibited, that day the fish are in their faces. Ya Allah! How bad can you get? It's like people before, in this country, they made Sunday a rest day. Yes or no? In the 80s, none of the shops were open. The 90s started. Now it's like Sunday is like any other day. Almost. Right? And still they restricted it to 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock in many places. But you know what? The days when you had a Sunday completely closed, the whole country was closed with all the shops. Was there any less business that was done? No. People got on. People shopped on a Friday, Saturday. They stocked for the till the Monday. Fine. Everyone got on with things. The whole country ran. It was a country that was closed. All the shops were more or less closed on a Sunday. But now what's happened? Now the busiest day is like Sunday or Saturday. Yes or no, guys? So you want to make it like that? Okay, you'll be busy all the time. If you want to give yourself a rest, you can give yourself a rest. Allah says, I'll give you a rest too. You want to make yourself that busy? You want 7 days a week? Okay, do 7 days a week. You still will want 8 days a week. You won't get enough. I'm telling you one thing. You know these guys out there, 24/7 shops out there, and they've got they've got 3 guys working in shifts, 8 hours, 8 hours, 8 hours. Yeah, some of them working 2 shifts, 12 hours, 12 hours. You know what? I look at them and I feel sorry for them. Muslims, I feel sorry for them. You said the guy's opened this shop 24 hours. He thinks he's going to get the most if he keeps his shop all the time open. And you know what? He's just about paying his bills. Yes or no, guys? He's just about paying his bills, just about paying the other guy, just about running his shop. And I think, what in the world? Give yourself a rest. Give yourself a life. Shut your shop on a few days. And then Allah will give you the rest. Have tawakkul on Allah and Allah will give you the rest. That's what Allah was trying to tell these people. So then what happened? A group of the Jewish people went to the people who were violating the Sabbath. And they said to them, look guys, because of you this has happened. You are the problem to this. Because of you, this has happened. And there was then a feud amongst the Jewish people. Some said, why are you getting up and warning them? Allah is going to destroy them anyway. Some Jewish people said, look, you Jewish people, you want to get up and you want to warn them? We're telling you that Allah is going to destroy them anyway. So what's the point of giving them dawah? What's the point of inviting them? They said, ma'adhiratan ila rabbikum. They said, we just want to be sure that we've done our duty. We have to still invite them to the religion, to the true religion of the Jewish faith. This is the thing that happened. And in the end, these were the people. Allah in the end changed some of them, not all of them. The ones who violated the Sabbath, they were changed to monkeys. This is in the Quran in three different places. Their faces were turned into the faces of monkeys. And they lived for 3 days and then they died. This is in the Quran that we've got about these, some of the Jewish people that violated the thing. Now subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that he said near the end of time, listen to this, this is a sahih hadith in Bukhari. He said near the end of time, some people of my ummah will allow Hir wal Harir Khamr, Hir Harir wal Ma'azir. He said they will make it allowed to drink and to sell wine and alcohol. One. Number two, before the end of time, some of my ummah, they will allow between themselves prostitution. And they will say it's okay. And between my ummah, in the end of the time, some of them will allow what? Silk wearing for men. And before the end of time, some of my ummah, they will allow the full use of musical instruments. For, you know, whatever needs they want. Then he continues and said that Allah will smite their faces. And Allah will change it to the faces of monkeys and swines, pigs. This is in a hadith of Bukhari. So at some point near the end of time it's going to happen. And what we want to say at the back of this is that, you know, when I'm discussing, the reason why I'm doing all of this today is that the Jewish references in the Quran are not just for the Jews. It's for the Muslims to reflect. What are we doing? And you know this part where the da'wah, subhanallah al-azim, because a group of them stopped giving da'wah, they were cursed as well. This is clear in the Quran. This is, if you look at the end of the sixth juz, Surah Ma'idah, Surah number 5, ayah number 78, 79, 80, you will find this. That what happened is first, this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained this to us in Bukhari as well. In Hadith Bukhari, he explained the whole of these ayats. So the ayat says, لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى لِسَانِ دَاوُودَ وَعِيسَ بْنِ مَرْيَمَ. That the people who committed disbelief or the acts of disbelief amongst the Banu Israel, amongst the Jewish people of the past, some of them were cursed by the tongue of Dawood alayhi salam and the tongue of Isa alayhi salam. ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانْ يَعْتَدُونَ. This is because they caused major sins and they continuously practiced the major sins. كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهَوْنَ عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ. They stopped telling people not to do evil acts. لَبِئْسَ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Such a bad thing it was that they stopped telling them not to do evil acts. تَرَى كَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ. You see many of them, you know, joining amongst those people who have complete disbelief in religion. Very bad what they're doing. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains in Bukhari, he says, what happened is, first of all, there was someone doing a bad thing in Banu Israel, and another Jewish person came up to him and said, look, my brother, my Jewish brother, don't do this. God has forbidden this. And the guy would say, okay, fine, I've heard you. Next day the guy would come again and say, look, my Jewish brother, don't do this. God has forbidden this. Next day, same thing. And after a while, what happened is, this person who's telling him every day, he begins to sit with him, he begins to eat with him, he begins to drink with him, and then slowly he stops telling him not to do those evil acts. He just stops. He's not doing them, but he stops telling him not to do them. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla's messenger said, when Allah's punishment came, it came to all of them. The ones who didn't tell them off, and the ones who were doing it, both. And the same will happen to this ummah. That those of us who see an evil, so there's three levels of it. Number one, you try and stop it with your hand. If you can't, or if you're not in power, because not everybody's in the power of stopping with hands. You have to be an authority sometimes to stop it with your hand. If you can't, then you try and talk against it by your tongue. Tell people, whenever you see evil, just tell them, look, in a nice way, you're not supposed to do this. This is prohibited in the Quran. And if you can't do that, hate it with your heart. At least that should happen. You shouldn't be like, okay, they're doing it, what can I do? Just leave them at it. This is about family members if they're doing wrong. Don't bring the la'an or the curse of Allah in your house because you stop saying the wrong, you stop telling them not to do it. This is about business people. This is about workplace. This is about, I'm not talking about non-Muslims. I'm talking about Muslims between Muslims. If you see a Muslim doing something bad, you have a right to tell him not to do it. And you have a right to repeat that every now and again. To remind him that this is wrong in the religion. This is in our community, in social affairs, on social media, whatever. You have a right to do that. And if we stop that, we will be exactly the same as them, even though we're not doing the act. So let's make that clear. Anyway, so I'm going to wrap it up now. What the whole situation about them is that Subhanallah al-Azim, whatever every step of the Jewish people in the past, whatever they did, is for us to reflect upon and for us to beware that we will fall, or some of this ummah will fall into the same traps and the same things. And on this point, what I want to say to you also is, the ulama, or some of the people who were the rabbis, they became more corrupted, and they were the instigators of this. And unfortunately, some of the followers of the Jewish religion, they saw a rabbi doing it, they went right behind it. Now this is mentioned again in Surah Ma'idah, Surah number 5, ayah number 62 and 63. Allah says, "Lawla yanhahum ar-rabbaniyun wal-ahbar." Why don't the pious people in the Christian community, the learned, ahbar, the Jewish rabbis, why don't they prevent them from sin? Wa aklihim as-suht, and why don't they prevent them from taking haram? See, Subhanallah, I have to say again, it's very sad state of affairs. Just like it happened in the Jewish community, the same thing has happened in the Muslim community. Where certain imams, certain sheikhs, they become the very reason why the common people go astray. And they justify from the Quran, and they justify from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Because they focus on certain parts of it, and they justify. Today, what I'm trying to say to you is that there are imams out there who are saying, and I'm going to number a few things, okay? Just think about it. This is happening right now. There are imams out there that are saying all inheritance should be equal. It doesn't matter, girl, boy, whatever. Allah said there's a difference between who dies and who has died and who he has left. Okay, there's a whole place in the Quran about inheritance, about who gets a third, who gets a quarter, who gets a sixth, who gets a, whatever. It's all in the Quran. So Allah's made it different. And for many reasons he's done that. There are imams today who are saying all inheritance should be equal. There are imams today out there in many countries, including the Western countries and the Eastern countries, who are saying that, La ilaha illallah, where do I start? Who are saying that women should lead the prayers. There are some imams who are saying that. There are some who've even pushed that forward, and they've created masjids where women lead the prayers with men. I'm not talking about women with women. I'm not talking, because that's fine. They're saying women with men behind them lead the prayers. Now there's some coming up who are saying the prayer doesn't have to be in Arabic. I don't know if you've seen on the internet or not. There are some who are saying that the prayer can be in any language you want to do. So, there's those who, and some are mixing Arabic and non-Arabic in the prayers. Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, all praise to God who is the Lord of the worlds. And some are just saying, Allahu Akbar, and after that they're saying, He is the most merciful, the most kind. He is the master of the day of judgment. They're actually saying this as you would say Surah Fatiha in the Salah. And they've justified it. There are some who are saying that, you know, if they want to be Muslim to Muslim gender relationships, it's fine. They've even got masjids that cater for this. There are, and they've justified, we've discussed this under the Lut alayhi salam's story. There are those who have said alcohol is completely okay. There are those who have said riba is completely okay. In its entirety, like there are no sort of things in between. There are those who have said a Muslim woman can marry a Christian man, a Jewish man. They've said both ways. They've even said a Muslim woman can marry anybody, even a mushrik and so on. There are those outside there. My point is, brothers and sisters, if you want to find a fatwa today, you don't have to go far. It's called Google. You Google it, you'll find what you want for yourself. Literally, you can find what you want for yourself. And it's going to get worse. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that if one of the Banu Israel had a relationship he should have with his wife, he had that relationship with his own mother. Not with his only own mother, he had it in public with his mother. If one of them did that, one of my ummah will do also the same thing. This is in an acceptable hadith. La ilaha illallah. It's going to get that bad near the end of the Day of Judgment that all sorts of things, you know, going to happen. And one of the things we have to say today, La ilaha illallah. You know, some of the liberals in Islam, they've got imams. They've got imams. They've got people quoting the Quran and Sunnah to try and prove all of this. And the extremists who are trying to kill everybody, they've got imams as well. And it's the imams that are behind that are doing all of this. But you know, one thing is, they do it for power and they do it for money. And this is exactly what Allah said about the Jewish rabbis, those of them that did it. Ayah number 63, surah number 5. Allah said, وَأَكْلِهِمُ السُّحْتِ. They took bribes. They took money. If you look at, right now, you look at some of the, I hope you understand, I'm trying to not give names, okay? If you look at the British government and some of the think tanks that they're listening to, yes, guys, you understand? Think tanks around them and Muslims are telling them, ooh, we want to tell you what the Muslims, the Muslims are too traditional, they're too orthodox, yeah? You know what? If you look in the history, you will find they took fat envelopes. Without millions of pounds, without millions of dollars, they would not operate. They took a lot of money from this country, from the government, from the Prevent, and before that from even the Henry Jackson organization in America that is very much like it wants to do this kind of stuff to prevent Muslims and all that. They've taken monies from them. Millions of dollars. And Allah said in the Quran about the Jewish people, their real reason was what? Fulus. Yeah, bakhshish. Yeah, you give bakhshish, people do a lot of things for you, brother. Yeah, that's how law of the world runs today. It's all about money. Who gets the biggest brown bags and the biggest white envelopes under the table, and that's how it is. And if you look between that, you will find that these scholars are corrupted. The scholars for dollars, they call them. Scholars for dollars. And unfortunately, there's many of them that are out there, and they're causing us trouble. They're causing the mainstream Muslims trouble. Okay, now, last thing I need to say is about the end of Harun alayhi salam, how he passed away, and the end of Musa alayhi salam, how he passed away. And then we'll start another prophet next week. So Harun alayhi salam, he was with Musa alayhi salam, and when Allah azza wa jal told them to go for 40 years in the valley of Thi, which I covered in two sessions before this. When they went into that, in the valley of Thi, they were with Banu Israel. And these were very sad days because Musa alayhi salam wasn't able to get into Baytul Maqdis, into Jerusalem in his life. So later on the Banu Israel went into Jerusalem. They got into Baytul Maqdis. They got into the area of what we know today as, you know, the Quds. Okay? But at this point, Musa alayhi salam is with Harun alayhi salam and he's with Banu Israel and they're wandering around in the like the deserty area. And in between that, once Musa alayhi salam asks Allah how he can get closer to him, and Allah says, okay, come with Harun and a couple of others, come to this mountain. This mountain, his name is Hur, or however you pronounce it. So they came to this mountain, Allah said, okay, you and Harun alayhi salam, get close to me on this mountain, you can do ibadah and so on. He's doing that, and in the midst of all of that, Harun alayhi salam passes away. So when he passed away, this is in Ibn Abi Hatim, narrated by Ali radiallahu anhu. When he passes away, then Musa alayhi salam buries him. Okay, does his janazah, everything, buries him on the mountain. And then he comes back down to Banu Israel. And when he comes to Banu Israel, what do they say? They said, oh, he just killed his brother. You know how these people, some people, he just killed his brother. And just came back down. And Musa alayhi salam was very, very upset by this. And he turned to Allah. He said, Allah, you know, they're saying this. So what Allah did is Allah made, subhanAllah, according to the riwayah, Allah made the deceased body of Harun alayhi salam. Allah made that come out. He told the angels to take it out. And then mid-air, Allah brought his whole body onto Banu Israel on the ground in front of them. And then they looked at Harun and they saw there was no injuries on his body. And they were convinced that Musa alayhi salam never killed his brother. This was one of the miracles again of Musa and Harun. Okay? So that was the end of Harun alayhi salam. He got reburied again. And then Musa alayhi salam, his one is a strange one. So what happens is that Allah sends Malakul Maut to Musa alayhi salam. He says, go on. It's time for Musa to come now. Bring him. So those days, what used to happen is that Malakul Maut never used to come like he comes today, which is invisible. Nobody sees him. Nobody can grab him. Nobody can touch him. Those days, even from Adam alayhi salam till Musa alayhi salam, Malakul Maut came as a man, as a full-grown man, and he came up and he took the soul. So when they came to a prophet, obviously they would ask the prophet gently, because he's one of the best souls on the earth, that I'm here to take your soul. So Musa alayhi salam, he saw a man come up to him, and a man is saying to him, I've come to take your soul. Musa alayhi salam, you know, he wasn't thinking this is Malakul Maut. He just thought, well, some guy is coming to me and said he's going to take my soul. Parash! He smacked Angel of Death so hard that his eye popped out. One of his eyes popped out. This is in Bukhari. Okay. In many different narrations, it's there as well. Malakul Maut went straight back to Allah. Ya Allah, you sent me to a man who doesn't want to come back to you. Look what's happened to me. So Allah put his eye back in. And Allah said, okay, you go back to him and tell him, does he want to live? He can live. Go and tell him this, that to go to a bull, and to put his hand on one part of the bull, and however many hairs that come under his hands, this one hand, however many hairs come under that hand, by each hair I will give him 1 year of life on this earth. Go and tell him that. So Malakul Maut returned, and he came to Musa alayhi salam. He said, I'm back. Now Musa alayhi salam, you know, he thought, what have I done? Because the thing is, the first time this is the truth, this is the explanation, the best explanation I found of this. Because otherwise you think, why did Musa alayhi salam slap an angel? Right? He now thought this was not an ordinary person who just came and doing a prank on me or something to try and ask me if he's going to take my soul. This is the angel of death. This hit him then. So angel of death said, oh Musa, your Lord has sent me to you again. And to say that as many hairs that will come under your hand when you put it on an ox, or a bull, when you put it under that, then you will get that much of life. Then Musa spoke directly to Allah, because you know he had that thing to directly speak Allah. He said, oh Allah, what will be of me after that? After the amount of life I get of the amount of hairs under my hand. Allah said, death. Then you have to face death. Musa alayhi salam said, well, if that's going to happen after that many years, you might as well take me now. Then he asked for a request. He said, oh Allah, since you want to take me, don't take me in the middle of this place where this is a desert. He said, take me close. He said, take me to Baytul Maqdis. Take me to the Holy Land. And I want to die there. So Allah took him, whether it was through the wind or something, Allah took him right to a stone throw away from Baytul Maqdis. And he was just outside of Baytul Maqdis. And there, Allah Azza wa Jalla allowed Malakul Maut to take his soul away. And he was buried. He's buried. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Hadith of Bukhari, when he's telling us this, he said, I wish I could show you the exact spot where Musa alaihi wasallam is buried. By the roadside, next to a red hill. This is the description he's given. A red hill by the roadside is buried there. And he saw Musa alaihi wasallam. You know, when he went to Mi'raj, he came back and he said, I saw Musa, subhanAllah, he said, I saw Musa on my way to Mi'raj. I saw him praying inside his grave. This is a Sahih Hadith in Muslim. I saw him praying inside the grave. This is something for the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay, so the thing is, the Jewish people today, they don't know the exact spot where he's buried. When I went to Jerusalem a couple of years back, I went to the place where they say in Jerusalem that his body is there. I went there and I straight away I said to myself, this is not the place he's buried. Why? Any of you guys know why I said that? Sorry? No. The reason why I said that was because, you know, when I went to that place, it wasn't that crowded. If the Jewish people were absolutely certain that this is Musa alayhi salam's grave, do you think we tourists will be able to come there and la 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 la, you know, like nobody's here, tour the whole place and go, no way. No way. They are certain they haven't found the place of Musa alayhi salam's place. So this last thing I want to tell you is that when you go to Jordan, Jerusalem, a lot of the prophets are buried there. Okay? But the problem is that not all of them, or not all of the places are authentic. It takes studies and so on, because sometimes you find the same prophet buried in two places. You know what I'm trying to say? Like some guy said, oh, this is his grave here. Some other person said, this is his grave here. So someone's saying Jordan, he's buried here, and someone's saying Jerusalem, he's buried here. You have the same thing with Sahaba as well. Some of the Sahaba, there's like two graves. It's like, it's not, one of them obviously is fake. One of them may be true. Maybe both of them are fake. You don't know. So anyway, I'm not saying they're all fake, but you've got to study the actual, history and so on and be certain where they, but my heart said that that place wasn't Musa alayhi salam. Of course, it didn't match the description that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, which was by a red hill. There's no red hill there. It wasn't by a roadside or something, but Allahu alam. That's why he's buried somewhere in Jerusalem, by Red Hill on the roadside. We don't know where, but may Allah Azza wa Jal raise him as high as ever on the Day of Judgment. Say Ameen. And may Allah make us be resurrected with the likes of Musa and Isa and Nuh and, you know, Ibrahim and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Azza wa Jal resurrect us with them. Inshallah, we'll start another prophet next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. ذكر علم ونور الحاملات سنا ونور والرسمات هنا سرور يا حلوى تلك السنين. The Safar curriculum covers all the Islamic educational needs of young Muslims today in a fun, simple and engaging way. Tried and tested for over 15 years at one of the UK's leading maktabs. The curriculum has been adopted by hundreds of institutions around the world and makes your child's journey in seeking knowledge easy, meaningful and dynamic. This innovative and comprehensive curriculum covers Quran and Tajweed, Islamic studies, du'as and surahs, as well as Arabic in an integrated and structured way. Visit safarpublications.org to find out more.